supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Do you believe in the existence of extraterrestrials on Earth? Lending some credence to the theory on Sky Talk is Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, I love a good science fiction story.
If I can steal something from the Pogo comics of some time ago, we have found the extraterrestrials, and they are us.
Really?
Yes. Well, here's how it works out. You know, we've talked before about how it is that the heavy elements that we find on this planet and in turn find in our bodies come from the formation of this planet, but those heavy elements have to be formed in the explosion of a star that existed in this region of the galaxy before our star formed. And that's because when stars do what stars do, they burn, using that term loosely, one element after another, going up the chain of the periodic table of the elements. So, for example, in the core of stars, hydrogen is quote-unquote burned, that is, fused under great temperature and pressure, and that converts it into helium, the next element up the chain. But when you fuse two hydrogens together, the mass of the helium doesn't equal the mass of the two hydrogens, and since the equation has to balance, finding out what happened to the rest of the mass, we've learned that it's turned into energy. And that energy continues to drive a chain reaction process. But what happens is more and more elements get fused together, and the residual left over from that fusion, the ash, if you will, is the next element going up.
What sorts of elements fall into this category?
Well, my favorites are gold, calcium, carbon, those kinds of things. Particularly the calcium, because our bones are made of calcium. Our teeth are made of calcium. And that material comes from the explosion of a star in this region of the galaxy before our star existed. So gold, platinum, uranium, all sorts of things like that get produced in small quantities. Here we are with all these heavy elements. They have come from a star that was originally here in this region of space before our star, but that star exploded, creating these elements.
Would life forms on Earth be very different or not exist at all if we were not in part composed of these heavier elements?
Sure, because the processes that could come up on this planet, based on where the planet is located in its distance from this particular type of star in this environment, are all critical to the life formation process. Because if we look at it as we understand it to have happened, it's all a big chemistry experiment. And so we need all the proper chemicals to create the substances that allow us to harness energy and to use that energy for muscle movement and for nerve operation and all these other sorts of things, as well as the construction of all the different parts and pieces that make up the animals of this planet, including us. Now, two scientists have proposed the idea that a small percentage of those heavy elements, tiny, tiny, less than 0.5%, actually came from the collision of two neutron stars about 1,000 light years away from where we are right now.
And speaking of neutron stars, let's give two thumbs up to some good sleuthing of late.
The Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, in conjunction with the European version of that called the Virgo Detector, have identified two new neutron star collision candidates, one about 500 million light years away and the other 1.2 billion light years away. Now, you can add to that a number of other detections it's made, and it's of three likely black hole mergers, along with what had been discovered before, two other neutron star mergers, 13 black hole mergers, and one possible black hole neutron star merger.
As countless thousands of kids of all ages have learned to love the heavens above through the Franklin Institute, it's a sister planetarium that's having an anniversary this week.
Yes, indeed. It's actually tomorrow. It's the anniversary of the first planetarium to open in the United States. That's the Adler Planetarium in Chicago. It opened on May 12, 1930, the first one in the United States. Our planetarium, Fells Planetarium, opened 4 years later, January 1, 1934. Since then, we've had millions and millions and millions of people sit under the dome of the Fells Planetarium to learn about the night sky. Same is true for Chicago, Both are still going strong, and there are a number of these classic planetariums left over from the early 1930s. When you go visit them, you can still see the design ethic that they all shared is still present in a number of them.
Lastly, for those who merely need to step out of doors, what's available to be seen with clear, dark skies this week?
It seems like it's been a full year that Mars has been available for visibility in the evening sky after sunset. It's still there, but it only has another month or so left. But Jupiter now rises around midnight and will be rising earlier and earlier as we go further into the late spring. And of course, if you're up early in the morning, you can see both Jupiter and Saturn. Venus, still very low on the eastern horizon. Catch it soon.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.